This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBT community. Worldwide Wave, we take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, Damien is here.
Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Paul's here too.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. Now, last year we brought you the first findings from a massive global survey of attitudes towards LGBTI people. In fact, it's the largest survey of its kind ever conducted. 96,331 people participated from 65 countries. And this is not just the progressive countries, it's also countries with very little focus on LGBTI rights, like Algeria or Jamaica and United Arab Emirates.
Tonight we ask, in countries with poor LGBTI human and legal rights, how did this impact their attitudes towards their rainbow population?
How did Australian responses compare to the rest of the world?
And what was the biggest surprise in the survey's findings? The survey was conducted by ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. And to discuss this fascinating report in greater detail, tonight we speak to Angus Carroll, the co-author of The Personal and the Political, Attitudes to LGBTI People Around the World. Here is a taste of what you've got coming up tonight.
How do people understand sexual diversity coming around? How do people understand gender diversity as coming around? Are you born that way? Do you become so? Did you choose to be so? We found that globally, biggest takeaway again on this one is the don't know. Many people just don't know. Over a third of the population's everywhere.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
We're kicking off with a trip to Italy, where fascists have been carrying a coffin draped in an Italian flag to protest a gay couple's civil union. Would you believe?
I think they got the wrong message, that it's a wedding, not a funeral.
Well, that's actually an interesting comment, because they got the message, and indeed, this one is a corker. They held this funeral procession to protest the gay couple, but the way they did it was they advertised it prior around the town by having their invitations to the protest written up like a wedding invite. So
come to a funeral but look like a wedding invite.
Yeah, like it actually read with the name of the couple. So they found out the name of the couple and it said, you know, Matteo and Marco, together with their parents and other relatives, announce the end of civilization, of our tradition of the natural family.
One, wow. Yeah. The sky is falling. I know, right?
Like they went all out. So they posted these notices around the town, and they actually got a bit of a following. They actually arrived at the church at the same time as the couple were set to get married, or not married, but it's civil union.
And they're actually saying that there is an international movement whose purpose is to eliminate the wedding. No, they're trying to get married.
Duh.
They're after marriage. There was lots of contradictions here.
There was, you know, a bit of sanity. The police did rock up, and they actually got rid of the...
Moved them on.
They moved them on, so at least it's good to see that the police were on the right side of the law.
Fun times in Italy.
Over in Japan, Sapporo is set to become the first city in Japan to recognise same-sex legal partnerships. While the law still defines marriage as between a man and a woman in Japan, progress is slowly being made to give gay couples the same legal protection to their relationships.
And this is really exciting because there have been lots of prefectures, lots of, I don't know, by our comparison, be something like a local council areas who've been granting rights. But this is a big city. This is 2 million people in the north of Japan.
In fact, it's the first city to allow gay couples to have some legal rights, as well as recognising the relationship of non-binary people. It's the fourth largest in the country, the city, and it's the largest in the Northern Ireland.
And in order to get the partnership, the applicants need to be registered residents in the city over the age of 20, and they need to also say that they are sexual minorities who recognise each other as life partner and promise to cooperate with each other economically, physically and mentally. Now, that doesn't happen every day. I'm sure there's a conditions apply thing, you know, it's a usual
But I actually thought that that statement was quite good because it does sum up what it's about. It's to cooperate with each other economically, physically and mentally in their daily life.
So it's our equivalent in sickness and in health.
Very true. The movement in Sapporo has been building over the years. They held their first Pride March in 1996. Across to Malta now, where the once conservative Malta has leapt to the forefront of LGBT rights internationally. In fact, they have elected their first transgender politician who is, wait for it, aged 24. And it gets better. He has been elected to the Conservative Nationalist Party, which has sort of thrown the whole country's political establishment into, you know, it's turned things upside down.
Pray tell, how did that happen? How did a transgender person get elected?
The Conservative Party actually went out and recruited him. And he has really, Malta has been, it's been named the best place in Europe to be LGBTI. So they've really catapulted their LGBT rights over the past 5 or 6 years. And this just seems another part of it. That process of changing rights, they got the community together. They found out what people wanted. They put additional protections in place. You know, they've... If ever you're going to do it, you'd go to Malta and say, just give me the checklist of what you did and we'll implement everything.
Not only is Alex Manjan the first transgender politician in Malta, he's also been able to notch up a personal achievement there as well, being the first person in the nation to be able to update his official documents without undergoing surgery or hormone treatment, thanks to the passage of comprehensive rights legislation.
We love you, Malta.
And now over to the United States of America, where Texas Mayor Jess Herbst comes out as transgender. Only 8 months after taking office, the mayor of a small town in Texas wrote in an open letter on the town's website, "As your mayor, I must tell you about something that has been with me since my earliest memories. I am transgender."
That's a pretty big coming out.
Yeah.
Pretty big coming out. She was actually propelled into the position following the death of the mayor before her. So she took over temporarily, but now she's got the full-time gig and she's certainly let her people know. In brief, Thailand is considering a separate prison for LGBTI inmates.
The Boy Scouts of America said on Monday the group will begin accepting transgender boys and dropping its more than a century-old practice of using the gender stated on the birth certificate to determine eligibility.
Norway's Lutheran Church votes to allow pastors to conduct same-sex weddings.
And good old Russia has a website that warns travellers how many gays are in any given city.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
A couple of messages coming in, actually. A donation. Tamara from Reservoir. Thank you, Tamara. And you know what? With your donation, you are now in the running multiple times, I say. Multiple times. Multiple entries for our Mardi Gras competition. So with this competition, we fly you to Sydney with Virgin Airlines. We put you up with Airbnb. You get to drive around in a fabulous go-get car. And you get to join us in the very, very VIP seating area right at Taylor Square to see the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. All you do is donate $5 here at joy.org.au. And every $5 you donate puts you in the draw.
This is Mahida from Nigeria, and you are on Worldwide Wave.
Angus Carroll is the co-author of ILGA's report, The Personal and the Political, Attitudes to LGBTI People Around the World. the largest investigation of attitudes towards LGBTI people around the world ever conducted, with over 96,000 online individuals in 65 countries. We would expect more positive responses from countries with advanced LGBTI rights, but we asked Angus what the survey showed for countries with limited or no LGBTI rights.
Well, from those countries, let me just, for example, Asian countries like the United Arab Emirates, we found things like almost 50%, just over 50% of people felt that human rights should be applied to everybody. And similarly with Iraq, it was, as you mentioned earlier on, nobody came in under 50%. Pakistan, nearly 70%. Because Pakistan is the major country at the United Nations that speaks for the 57 countries of what is called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is a big lobbying group at the United Nations, and Pakistan often speaks for them and says very nasty and degrading things about LGBT, human rights of LGBTI people. And so when you see that their population, almost 70% or late 60s of their population, are saying that human rights do apply to everybody, well, my takeaway from that is that there is a serious piece of conversation required in that state between the representatives and the polity as the voting body. There's a lot of space there, is what that says, that the politicians are either lagging behind the awareness of the population. And that just needs space to be looked at. And those are processes. Nothing comes quickly, right? You know, this is all work. What this survey can help activists and advocates is to help shape their campaigns.
What fascinated me about that particular question is you can see a correlation between how democratic a country is and how high the percentage is of people who think that human rights should be applied to everyone, regardless of whom they feel attracted to or the gender they identify with. For example, in countries that are, you know, democratic, if the democracy is somewhat flawed, like, say, Pakistan, you know, Israel, India, it's more than 50%. Yeah. When you look at a country like, say, China, which is obviously, you know, a communist country, the number of people that strongly agree are 28%. And then in the neither category, you've got 31%. They're a little bit more circumspect about whether or not they agree with that particular comment.
That's
so
right.
I thought that was interesting how much that related into perhaps their everyday political experience.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's very interesting. And there is, for example, a really interesting question about children, about if your kid, would you be upset if one of your children told you they're in love with someone of the same sex? And we found that only 32% of people across the globe, again in Oceania, that's 56% in Oceania, but only 21% in Africa, but that would not be upset. So 32% of the world would not be upset. And then 68% of the world would be either very upset or somewhat upset if the child came home and said that they were in love with somebody of the same sex. Now, the question here is, okay, so you'd be upset, but why would you be upset? So this is what our next, this survey instrument that we have set up here is going to run every year. And so this will be a longitudinal study where we can, you know, identify trends by year on the same question. But what we can do is on this question, for example, about being upset, I'm really interested to know, why would you be upset? What upsets you? Is it that you have animus to LGBT people and you think that they're just going to be horrible? And, oh my God, I don't want a child who's gay. Is that your problem? Or is it your problem that you think that gay people have miserable and lonely lives, that they won't have a partner, that they can't have children? You know, and all of that kind of set of traditional heteronormative responses to sexual diversity. I mean, the question that we need to do, what we need to do with this question in the 2017 run is figure out a little bit more, why would you be upset? I think that'll give us an awful lot more information.
That was Angus Carroll from ILGA speaking to us from Ireland. Coming up, we find out what the survey respondents from Australia and our region think about LGBTI people.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchitaburst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
Tonight we are looking at the global attitudes of people all around the world, nearly 100,000 people, to LGBT people in different parts of the world. Messages coming in. So 317 says, hello, can you update me on the movements in our parliament today, especially with the free vote? Great to see the new campaign out across Australia. And they actually saw it in Chadstone as well, so one of the major shopping centres. Have you caught the new campaign, the equality campaign here in Australia? So it's just rolling out now, and it sort of presents various LGBT people doing their everyday job, from nurses to army to everything, and says, we're doing our job, but we don't have marriage equality. Politicians, why don't you do yours? I like it. You have to go. We'll actually post that after the show on our Facebook page so you can have a look, which is W3Joy on Facebook. So to date, there's a little bit of argy-bargy going on in Canberra as to whether the Conservatives will or won't do something. But no great progress there, 317, I'm afraid.
And to continue on, we will hear from Angus Carroll from ILGA, who's been explaining the plans to drill down into some of the reasons people respond the way they do when asked about their attitudes towards LGBTI people. We asked him how they decide what questions are actually included in the surveys.
So we have an incredible advisory board working with us for the next round of questions, which will begin in January. They will go into the field in January 2017. And we have this amazing advisory board of world-leading academics and also international NGOs that work in trans, LGB, and intersex on our advisory group to really, you know, fine-tune some of these questions and also get much more granular, get more depth, dive down, as you say.
I wanted to ask you, some conservatives and religious leaders talk about being gay or bisexual or trans as a choice. So what did the survey conclude about how many people believe that to be true?
Yes, that's a great question. And that's something of great interest to me also, is how do people understand sexual diversity coming around? How do people understand gender diversity as coming around? Are you born that way? Do you become so? Did you choose to be so? So those are the three choices we gave, and the fourth choice was the don't know. And basically around, first of all, dealing with it in two pieces. One is on same-sex sexual attraction, so attracted to same-sex or gay, lesbian, or bi. We found that globally, biggest takeaway again on this one is the don't know. Many people just don't know. Over a third of the populations everywhere just said they don't know, and that's very interesting. As you say, the rhetoric that people choose to be how they are, which implies that they could choose not to be how they are, which is part of the logic of reparative or conversion therapy, trying to pray away the gay. We found that only less than a quarter of the world's population felt that people are born that way. So, in other words, people are born gay or people are born with gender diversity. And that was a pretty big finding. When you put chose to be so or became so, that you're kind of nurtured to be gay as it becomes so, that only about a sixth of the population subscribed to that idea. And then the chose to be so was actually quite high. It was actually over a quarter of the world seemed to feel that. So we saw in Africa, for example, that 36% of the cohort from the 9 African countries surveyed felt that people chose to be LGB. That's a huge opportunity for education and, again, for public discourse.
Obviously, yeah. We're calling you from Australia. Were there any learnings or results from Australia that indicate how we compare to the world averages?
Oh, you compare very highly, is what I'd say. Now, I mean, there's a couple of things to say here, if I might just preface this. I mean, one of the things I'm very, very conscious of is that you can't really compare cultures in ways. You know, there isn't like a progress narrative, you know. It's not that we're all trying to get to same-sex marriage and that's the idea and that we're all on this track and we can be graded against that. You know, different countries have different understandings and different histories with sexual and gender diversity. And as such, I mean, it's one of the problems, I think, with a tool like this is one is, you know, instantly given the materials in which you do these kinds of comparisons. And in a sense, that's a little iffy. I'm a little worried about that particular element that we just compare Western world values with, you know, African or Asian values. Having said that, within the Western world, the Australian results came back really high overall. They were very much the same as your neighbours in New Zealand, you know, within 1 or 2 percentile points for the most part, which is really very high. So around things like, the one, of course, that you're currently dealing with around same-sex marriage, which is a big issue in Australia, we have 56% of people coming back saying yes. Now, that's very high. Now, let me give you an example. In Ireland in 2014, we ran this survey just in Ireland and got results in early 2015, which is a few months before a constitutional referendum that happened in Ireland around same-sex marriage. So, obviously, you were going to have a plebiscite, and now you're not having a plebiscite. But it was kind of around that issue. And we found out 51% of people in Ireland were in favor of same-sex marriage. When the plebiscite happened in Ireland, it actually turned out that just 62% of people came out and said yes. So if you have a similar thing or some equivalent thing in Australia, you're looking at a really high, two-thirds of your population are probably going to come out and say yes.
Well, we certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Unless you have some disaster, I'd say you probably, and you're looking at a quarter of your population, which is not unusual. I mean, that a quarter of your population would go, no, this is horrible. We don't want this at all, you know. Around many other things, I mean, Australia did, again, if your child came home about somebody of the same sex, would you find that? There was only 18% in Australia who said they'd be very upset if their child came home. What was the phrasing? Would you be upset if one of your children told you that they were in love with someone of the same sex? And in Australia, we found that only 18% would be very upset. I find that to be a very useful figure to measure. Male to female gender identity and female to male, very much around 50%. So people would find it acceptable. And again, about a quarter of the population seem to feel that they would not find it acceptable if their child expressed themselves in a different gender. I did think it was interesting in Australia that only 19% of people came back and said that there was a conflict between same-sex desire and their religious beliefs. So, yeah, and I mean, really, as regards the human rights question that we talked about extensively there about whether they should apply to everybody regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, we found 72% of people in Australia agreed that human rights should be applied. That's just really decent society, you know. That just comes back, and those come from all parts of Australia, from all the provinces.
That's Angus Carroll from ILGA sharing some of the pleasant results from Australia uncovered in ILGA's report, The Personal and the Political, Attitudes to LGBTI People Around the World.
It is an incredible insight into views from across the globe and being able to sort of look at what different countries think. But I did like what he was saying there, that it's comparisons between countries aren't always clear and you can't always make those comparisons. We're not all on the same path towards same-sex marriage, which I thought was a really nice thing to recognise. And sometimes we forget. We, you know, in Australia, that's our big battle at the moment. But for other countries, I can't remember which country it was, one of the Asian countries that we spoke to recently, and one of the things that was stopping them getting basic rights was the fear that they would eventually, that the gay community wanted same-sex marriage and they didn't want that, therefore they weren't going to give any rights. So sometimes these things can sort of, you know, become stonewalling.
Because that's come up in some of our interviews in Africa as well.
Where it's actually
the HIV.
Where will this end is that argument.
So they go through HIV as a way of getting rights for the LGBTI community.
Yeah, and there's that whole talking there about nature versus nurture and, you know, are you born gay? And actually a bit surprised that the numbers are so low, and there's a whole chunk of people, the biggest respondents were, I don't know.
At least they're saying, I don't know. That's better than coming out with an opinion that perhaps isn't great. The one that surprises me the most, though, is the talk about human rights. Like, I don't even understand the argument, so maybe a listener can message in and let me know. But if we're talking about human rights, then sexuality is a subset of being human. So why is there even a discussion as to whether that should be included? Like, duh.
Using logic again.
Oh!
One final thing there, that the marriage equality numbers, that was interesting because he was saying in Ireland, pre-plebiscite, they were getting 51% support for same-sex marriage in Ireland before their referendum. And this last survey, Australia's tracking at 56%.
So it's done. We're done. We're good.
Consistent with, he's sort of projecting that, you know, when it gets to a vote, Ireland went up to 60-odd, so he would expect we would go up to two-thirds, which is probably pretty consistent with a lot of the polls that are out there at the moment. So 317, that's a bit of an answer. There's a groundswell of Australian support, if not political support. Message in from Sam. Sam caught a bit of the Super Bowl and reckons Lady Gaga didn't need to be political at the Super Bowl. Her song sang for equality and love. Thanks for that, Sam.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Andre Dutrecy from the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. Speaking from Geneva on the World Wide Wave.
Another message in. Thanks, 317. I noticed Greece that gay men view Anglo-gay men as a tad arrogant and privileged. We take our rights for granted. Very interesting. In the studio tonight, you might have noticed from last week we had a new neighbour, which is kind of good because you're the real estate show, which is our house. Paul's here. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Tell us, what is on our house tonight?
Well, on our house tonight, we're going to be chatting with Brendan Condon, who is the brainchild and director of the Cape Project at Cape Patterson, which is a 220-lot eco-community.
Oh, we like eco.
Yeah. It apparently produces more power than it... houses produce more power than they use. It's an 8.2... star energy rating. Now, I thought they only went up to 6, so this is incredible.
Five,
yeah, well. So he's going to be telling us about how it all started, what stage they're at, what benefits there are of living in an eco-community, and it should be very interesting.
Fantastic. Reaching for the stars in real estate. Our house, following us right here at 8 o'clock on Joy.
Joy 94.9.
With all this data on attitudes of people across the world and what they think of LGBTI people, we asked Angus what surprised him in the findings.
I haven't thought of it that way. That's really interesting. Well, what I really enjoyed was there's a question about being gay, lesbian, or intersex should be a crime, and then adults should be allowed to have private consensual same-sex relationships, okay? So there are two questions there. One of them is saying, you know, being LGBTI should be a crime. So should, the imperative, the lawmaker within yourself. What does that say? If you were king and making the law, would you make this a crime, right? And then the second question is, got a different penetration. It asks, should adults be allowed to have same-sex relationships in private and consensual? And I loved this one because it spoke to the idea of what do you hold internally and what would you, if you could, you know, make the laws, what would you do with what you feel internally?
The results for this one were all over the place, weren't they? Like, they're just...
totally all over the place. I loved it for that, but it's actually quite a satisfying read because basically what I came away with from this one is that people were kind of in themselves a bit more proper, you know. They weren't kind of, they didn't feel great about, but they would not legislate. So they might go, I don't really like the whole gay thing. Oh, but definitely I wouldn't legislate against it. That's kind of the takeaway here. And I loved that. I found that in there's quite a percentage of people who were holding personal attitudes
that they're not so fond of things, but that they didn't think that they would have the right to legislate for that for everybody. But, I mean, I think the one that really that I want to just focus on, I suppose, is around trans people and trans visibility. People's attitudes if they had a trans neighbour and how they would be with that. And we found that 64% of people in the world would be grand with it. And that was a real surprise to me and a real delight to me.
It's a fantastic report, 60 pages filled with so much useful information. We'll be unpacking this for months to come, and it's a great snapshot of where we are now, and I look forward to the next report. Thank you very much for your time, Angus. Much appreciated.
And you too, and for the interview also.
And congratulations to ILGA for their efforts. They do work very hard for LGBT rights on the global stage and on a bit of a shoestring in terms of the things that they do. So to put this out and come up with so much stuff is great. That final question, you know, how comfortable would you be with a trans person living beside you? That's a really interesting question to, like, being your neighbour. And very positive that even on a global level there is a great deal of support or people aren't that worried.
And why should they be? So at least
we know that. But
well, it's good to see that, you know.
If you think, though, that there's obviously great blocks of the world that were a part of this survey where you would expect quite low numbers. So it must have been offset by countries which are much, you know, more progressive and accepting that, keep it high.
So either way, it's a good trend. Let's keep it going.
I did see, too, during the week, there was a story come out of India where a Bollywood star, one of their TV stars,
came out but didn't. So it's not legal.
That's correct. So they've got the old sodomy laws there.
British strike again.
That's right, those damn Brits. He posted his autobiography and said, everybody knows my sexual orientation. I don't need to scream it out. If I need to spell it out, I won't, only because I live in a country where I could possibly go to jail for saying this. But it is interesting how those sorts of people, really high-profile people, can impact a population. And for a survey like this, a global attitude survey, if somebody, the nanas or whatever sitting at home, see somebody like them on TV, and, you know, that ability to change attitudes.
Influence,
that's right. We are talking all things the views of LGBT people around the world. This is World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
A huge thank you to Angus Carroll from ILGA. Find out about their good work at ILGA.org.
Where you can also read the report. A big thank you to all those that have messaged us in on Facebook. Trent, Scott, Sandra, Josh, Cecilia, and a heap more. Check us out on Facebook. That's W3Joy.
And a huge thanks to our podcaster, Mark. And, of course, on the front desk, Gordon.
We will catch you next week after some great music.
It's Katy Perry with Rays.
See you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.